Before I start, I want to pray. I want to pray for today, but I also want to pray for Doug and Karen and the family. I think as a church, we should lift them up right now, all of us together. Some of you may not know that some stuff happened and there was a death in the family, so we are going to lift them up right now. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for the message. So, Lord, I pray right now, God, that you would meet Doug and Karen and the family where they are right now. And as a church, we stand with them and we support them. And we say, Lord, be with them right now. We send our prayers out there, Lord, to the whole family, God. And that, Lord, you would be in that situation. And Lord, we pray right now for the message that I'm going to give today, God, that, Lord, you would be in it. That it wouldn't be me. That it would be you. And that even if there's only one person that gets something out of it, Lord, that, Lord, there's a reason why you wanted this share today, God. So Lord, I pray that you would just bless the words that come out of my mouth. And bless the ears that hear it. Amen. You know, at the beginning of every year, I do this thing where I kind of pray and I say, okay, God, what's going to happen? What do you feel is going to happen? Or what do you think you can tell me about what's going to happen next year? And it's really interesting because if you go onto Google and you say words for next year or prophetic words for next year, you get these like 5-page long messages and you're like, wow. That's amazing. I got one word, and it was choice. And I really feel that this year, 2017, we are going to be put in situations that will require choices. And I know we say, well, we have that all the time. Right, we do. But I think this year there's something different where the church is going to have to make choices, and good choices, I think. Like, it's going to be a good thing. It's not going to be a bad thing. And I think in our lives, we are going to have to make choices too. So my message today, as you can see up there, is can I ask you a question? And how many of you guys saw the Facebook video Brent and I put on Wednesday? Show of hands. Yes, 8 people. Social media works great. That is, wow, that's 4 more than we expected. So, and you know, in that video I said, I have 3 questions I'm going to ask you guys that hopefully will give you some clarification of how you can move forward this year and some of the choices you have to make. But I want to tell you a story first about a choice, you know, for myself when I was a kid. How many of you guys here have been a camp counselor or ever went to summer camp? Yes, the same 8 people. That's perfect. Okay, so, come on, Alan. No, you didn't. He was too busy eating bacon. So, I was a camp counselor, and I know some of you think, wow, that's just dangerous. And yes, you're right. It was very dangerous. I was at this camp. I was 18. That's a long time ago. I don't totally remember. And I was actually the oldest male counselor. So I was kind of, you know, the person in charge with the younger counselors and stuff like that. And on the it was like the second week, I was going through some of the stuff we had in one of the back rooms, and I found a 3-man slingshot. Any of you guys know what that is? Show a hand. No, nobody. It's a 3-man slingshot right there. What it is you take surgical tubing, and you cut about, I don't know, 4 to 6 feet of it. And then you kind of loop it. You tie it in a knot, but on one end. So you have 2 guys that are standing, one right here, and another guy standing right here. And then there's a guy in the middle. And he's pulling back the surgical tubing, the stretchy stuff that they, you know, that they wrap around before they take your blood. And what you do is you kind of make a pocket with a pair of jeans or something like that. So then you sew it on and you attach it. And then you take a water balloon. And you put the water balloon in the pocket. And the 2 guys stand up front and then you pull back as far as you can go. And you let it go. And excitement ensues when a child is hit with a water balloon. Coming at them at Mach 60. And if you don't knock them off their feet, you didn't pull back far enough. But so what happened was, it was about the second day, and I thought, guys, we need to take this. And I gathered some of the counselors, and I'm like, we need to take this down to the beach with us. So we took it down to the beach. Now, this is where choices come into play. This was a public beach. It was about 40 degrees out. It was very humid. Manitoba tends to be very humid because, you know, there's a lot of water. And so we're up on the side of the hill and they're down on the beach. And I probably say we'd be as far as away as if I was standing here to the road. And all of our kids, we had them all clumped together. If you're going to swim, because it is a public beach, you need to have everybody in the same spot, right? So you keep an eye on them. So we're launching balloons, and it's so much, we're laughing, and it's so much fun watching these kids, and they do. So I grab a balloon, and I step back with it, and I'm like, okay, and I launch it. And I'm watching. Now, I looked, and it's still in the air, and I'm looking down, and I see this little old lady. And she's walking through, and she's got her hands above the water, and she's obviously dry all the way up, and she's wading through the kids, and I'm watching, and I'm like, oh, this could be bad. And it lands about this, right here, and she's looking around, but you don't see it, right, because it explodes, and then you don't know what just happens. So, and she looks, she doesn't know what she gets, and I'm like, oh, whew, dodged a bullet. So we keep launching, and it's my turn again. So this time, it's towards the end, and I'm like, I'm going to do this. And so I pulled back to the point where I lay down on the ground because I needed to get as far back. And I sent this thing into orbit. I'm pretty sure that it went around the world once, and then it was coming. There was sound waves coming from behind it, right? And I'm watching this thing. Now, has time ever stood still for any of you? Yeah? You know exactly what I mean, where it's like that balloon froze, and I looked down, and there's the same lady coming through the group of kids. And this time, she's got a Frisbee. So she must have gone through to pick up a Frisbee. She must have been in her 70s, 60s or 70s. And she starts, and time has lit, and you hear, like, the butterfly has slowed down beside me. And there's, I can actually count how many times the hummingbird's wings are flapping, right? Thump, thump. And I'm watching this balloon, and it's coming down, and she's walking through, and I'm like, there's no way this could happen. And I'm thinking of all my choices that I made to do one more balloon, even though it was time to go. And I thought, no, we have time for one more balloon. And it comes down, and sure enough, she's holding the Frisbee here, and it smokes her right in the side of the head where the Frisbee is. Puts her under the water. Because it was a big balloon. And like, I've never seen water crater before, but I'm serious, it was probably 30 seconds before it filled back in. But it was, kids were screaming as the tidal wave was coming in. It was crazy. But so she goes under, and I'm immediately like, time is still frozen. So the guys who are with me see it, and immediately we throw the thing in the bushes, and we take off, and we run down there, and not to her, that would be stupid, but we just took off. And so then the worst part about it is we're leaving later, and I see her, and she's sitting on a chair with an ice pack on the side of her head. And I would love to say I was a mature Christian who went up to her and asked for forgiveness, but I didn't. I ran, and this will not leave this room, right? But it's funny, because when you're a kid, you make these choices, right? How many of you guys have made stupid choices? If every hand does not go up, you guys just made a stupid choice. Every single person has made a stupid choice. Another dumb choice is when you're going to go riding with Alan, and you've never rode the mountain before, and you ask him, how hard is this mountain? He goes, not that bad. It's not that bad. And then halfway through climbing the mountain, when there's stuff pouring out your nose and tears and you're crying, and he goes, oh, this is a little bit harder than I remember it. Right? So there's choices we can make. You're still my favorite cyclist there, Alan. But there's choices. So today, I'm going to ask you. So now I've led you up to a thing where we have to start making choices. You know, when we're 17, we make dumb choices. When we're 40, we make dumb choices. When we're 60, we're going to make dumb choices. But hopefully these three questions will be able to help you get through. The first question is this. Now, I don't have a PowerPoint. I'm very sorry. I ran out of time, and I hate Microsoft Word and anything to do with it. So, I grew up on a Mac. So, okay. So, like, not literally on the Mac, but beside one. Anyway. First question. Are you a person of depth? It's very interesting because in the past couple of weeks, I've been challenged with that actual question myself. Are you a person of depth? Or are you a person who is just a shallow, flighty person who people will look at you and say, well, they're a good person, but I would never ask them a question, right? That has to do with the decision. Or, are you a person of depth? In Romans 11, verse 33 to 36, I'm just going to read 33. It says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, how unfathomable are his ways." I want to be known as a person of depth. I want to be known as a person who has a good time, but I want to be known as a person who someone can come up to and say, "Hey, I'm thinking about this. What do you think?" You see, if we have no depth to our character, then how do we expect to be able to go out and help other people in their lives? We need to have depth, you guys. We need to be able to think about stuff. We need to be able to pour, to look at the scriptures and say, "God, what are you showing me?" When it comes to choices, I need that depth in my life to be able to answer the choices that are coming before me. And one of those things that you notice is as you make your choices, as you're growing and as you're doing it, you can always go back to those choices to think. That adds depth. Do you agree? How many of you guys agree with me? The choices you have made previously will add depth. And they will affect your future. Absolutely. Hopefully for the good, sometimes for the bad. Right? So depth, okay? That's the first question. Now, the funny thing is that's the depth question, but I'm going to get deeper into the next two questions. Here's the second one. Are you a person who is accountable? You know, it's really funny. Nicola and I, how many years ago was this when we led a young adult group? So it was about 7 years ago. No, 8 years ago nearly. 9 years ago. Wow, we're old. So 9 years ago, Nicola and I were asked to take over a young adult group, and there was about 50 kids in it. And the thing with young adults you'll notice is once they start dating, they all start dating in that young adult group. And there's nothing wrong with dating. Don't get me wrong. I'm not in any way. Right? But we watched this starting to happen, and I went to the pastor, and I'm like, I need to sit down with these kids. I need to talk about accountability, and not in a bad way, like, but in a way that they know what the young men know what I expect as the young adult leader when it comes to them wanting to date girls in the young adult group. And Nicola did the same with the girls, because you need to carry yourself above par. You have to. There's no question about that. You always need to carry yourself above par. Right? That is just a fact of life. So we sat down with this young adult group, and I like to think of myself as not being heavy, or, you know, I tried to put some humor and stuff, and we had the talk, and we split the hated it when I called them kids. We split the young adults up. And it was really interesting. We had a great talk. People talked. Within 3 weeks, we probably had four kids, young adults left at the group. It was insane. It was crazy because they didn't want to be accountable. They didn't want to be held responsible for the choices they make. They didn't want to be held responsible for how they acted. They didn't want to have to answer those hard questions. Guys, in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 to 12, and this is out of the message, says, "It's better to have a partner than to go it alone. Share the work, share the wealth, and if one falls down, the other helps. But if there's no one to help, tough. Two in a bed," now take this for what it is, "two in a bed warm each other. Alone, you shiver all night. By yourself, you're unprotected. With a friend, you can face the worst. Can you round up a third? A three-stranded rope isn't easily snapped." You know what, guys? When it comes to relationships, if you have somebody you can go to and you can say, "Hey, can you pray for me for this? I'm struggling with this." Or even better, if they can call you out of the blue and put you on the spot, that's even better. Because now we're going to see how you react. Now you'll know how you really are when it comes to accountability. I'm going to tell you, I want to talk to you guys about Peter when it comes to accountability. In John, you know the story in John 20? Okay, let's start this off. When Peter was sitting beside the fire and Jesus was getting tortured, do you remember the story? Three times he denied Jesus, right? Three times. And then he ran out there, ran away because he was so upset and he didn't want to get found and he was scared. So then Jesus dies on the cross, he comes back to life, and now he's with the whole group, right? Do you guys remember this? They're fishing, and he grabs Peter, and what's really funny is I always thought he grabbed Peter and just had a little private meal with him. He didn't. He grabbed the whole group of them. And they had all gone back to their old, they were all fishing again. And he grabbed the whole group, and he put them back onto the beach, made a fire, bring over the fish, let's eat. So they're all sitting there. And he looks at Peter, And what's really interesting is when you read this. Now, I will confess, I'm not a theologian. I don't know Greek. I know Google. Okay? So if I want to look at a scripture, you know, Google's amazing because you can look and say, well, what does that word mean? They put the Greek and then you Google it, right? It's amazing. So I learned something here. They're sitting at the beach. And if you notice in the story, Jesus says, Simon, do you love me? Three times. Three times he says, Simon, do you love me? So we look at that and we notice right off the bat that Jesus is actually saying to Peter his old name, which is telling Peter, Peter, you still have issues you need to work through. You still have issues. There's still Simon in you. There's still Simon in you. And Peter knew it. He knew exactly what was happening here. And now I'm going to tell you why. Because the other cool thing about the scripture is two different words for love were used. The first time Jesus asks Peter, he says, Peter, do you agape me? Agape means love unconditionally. I will basically do anything. I will die. He asks Peter that. Peter answers, and Peter says, yes, Jesus, I love you. But he didn't use agape. He used philia. And philia is the Greek word for I love you in my heart. You know I love, like, I love you. But it meant that he didn't, you know, Peter was embarrassed and he was ashamed. And when Jesus asked him the agape side of it, Peter had to answer the other way. Because he knew that his actions spoke louder than what his words were. His actions said he didn't agape Jesus. He philioed. So he answered truthfully. And he said, with accountability, he said, I philio. Jesus asked him again, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter said again, basically, no, I philio. And what's amazing here, and this is what I want you guys to get from this part, this question with accountability, is Jesus looked at him and then changed his word from agape to philio and said, Peter or Simon, do you philio? And then Peter said, yes, you know my heart. Yes, I philio. And what happened there, if you look into the scripture, what Jesus basically said was, you know what? Now we have a place to start. You admitted that you didn't agape. Your actions spoke louder. But at least now I have a place to start. You know what, guys? When it comes to accountability, God is not going to say to you, it's not that your love isn't good enough. You tried, but you're not good enough. Jesus will always meet you where you are. Where you are. When we make the wrong choice, yes, and we will make the wrong choices. In 2017, as we are pursuing the calling, as we are running the race, and we're talking about that in the series, we will make wrong choices. But God, but Jesus, the Father, the Son, they will meet us where we are. Amen? Yeah. And they will say, at least we have a starting point. We now have a starting point. You've admitted to me where you're fallen. Where you've come up short, but now I have some place to start. And you know what? In the end, Peter, through his actions, proved his agape. He proved it. We went from Peter filio to Peter agape. But it was only because of his accountability and the fact that Jesus met him where he was. Amen? Okay, third question. Are you a person who leads a lifestyle of worship? Now, I want you to think about that question because I want to hear some, hold on, I just need a drink too. By shouting out, not all at once, but what does a worship lifestyle mean to you? Come on, throw some out. Worship lifestyle. Not everybody at once. Okay. Prayer. Wow, that's a big one. Anything else? Come on. Sacrificial. Good. Service. Tithing. Which is sacrificial and service. That's awesome. We put it all together. There's so much. Come on, you guys. What does it mean? I've heard. Pardon? Yep. Loving other people. Loving other people. You know. Spread the news. Okay, guys. That's right. Every single one of those is right. Because when you lead a worship lifestyle, basically what that means is you are putting Jesus first. you are putting Jesus first. And I want to give you an example. The life of David. I love David. I have read 1 and 2 Samuel so many times. It blows my mind. And there's one chapter that I've been reading when it comes to the lifestyle of worship. And it's the chapter where David goes to Nob to see Ahimelech, the priest. How many of you guys know this story? I'm going to back it up a little bit here. There's some things going on in these chapters, okay? And this is 1 Samuel 21. Now, we're going to probably go back to 17, right? So what happens is it's around 16 or 17 where David takes the cheese and bread to his brothers. How many of you guys know the story? He ends up killing Goliath. Show of hands. Now we're up to 12 people. This is working perfect. Okay, so we have David, and he goes and he does that. Now, the next thing you know, Saul brings him into his court, right? And then Saul starts getting angry. You know, I've been reading this thing with David. I don't think David was the brightest bulb in the chandelier. And I'm going to tell you guys why. David sits in the court of the king playing his harp, which I find really funny that in the scriptures it says playing the harp with his hands. Can you imagine, I guess maybe he was playing it by ear. Come on. Okay. Anyway. So he's playing his harp. Saul picks up his spear. He gets, this mood comes over him. He picks up his spear, chucks it at David's head. David ducks. It hits the wall. David keeps playing. With his hands. I would start thinking to myself, maybe this is not where I want to be. Saul picks up another spear, chucks it, David ducks again, and it hits the wall, and David runs away. Now we think, okay, I can understand one time, what did George Bush say? Fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on, but he said shame on you again, like it was really funny. But shame on me, like that's the saying, right? Fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. So David runs away. Saul convinces him to come back. David once again is playing the harp with his hands. Saul throws another spear. Now, I don't understand David's thought process here because the guy has thrown it three times. Well, I understand the process. It was the process. It was the king. He was submitted to the king. We talked about that. But I just think, man, David just put up with a lot. I don't know. Anyway, I love David because he obviously was not, he was there, but he wasn't all there. That's not heresy. He was there. You have to be crazy to go against a giant. It's awesome. So then, now we look at this. So now the third time, now David's like, okay, I'm done. I'm out. Shame on me. So now he takes off. Now he runs away from the court. And here's where it's amazing. He runs away from the court and he heads to Nob, right? Where Ahimelech, the priest, is. David goes in. Now, do you guys remember the story? He walks in. He's starving. Do you have any food for me? Well, I have this, the sanctuary bread. You can have that now if you've washed your hands. That's basically what he says. So David eats the bread. And then he says, I have no weapons. And here's where, this is going to be, I'm hoping you guys will, like, David, is anybody, are you guys awake? Can I say, yeah, amen? Wow. So David says, I have no weapon. So Ahimelech says, well, why don't you look behind the altar? We have the sword of Goliath, who you killed. And David picks it up and he says, there is no other sword in the land like this one. And that became his weapon. And here's what blows my mind for all of this. If David hadn't made the choice to fight Goliath, that weapon would never have been there. Think about that. If he had never said, Lord, I'm stepping out, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to take what I've got, and I'm going to fight Goliath, that weapon would never have been there. And who knows how the story of David would have ended. I find it very interesting because David lived a lifestyle of worship, but he also lived a lifestyle of warfare. Because worship and warfare go hand in hand. You cannot have one without the other. So all these things you guys mentioned about doing stuff, praying, sacrificing, tithing, spreading the gospel, loving, all that stuff will come with battles. Even if you're praying and all this when life is good, when life goes bad, don't stop. Don't stop. Because you don't know the choices that you make now, you don't know how they're going to affect that. You see, the bear that David fought, the lion that David fought, all was to help him lead up to Goliath. Right? Right? So even when he was tending the sheep, when he's sitting in there playing his harp by hand with the sheep, and he's fighting, I don't think he went and looked for them. I don't think today he woke up and was like, I could fight a lion today. I think it just it happened. Because he lived a worship lifestyle. He sacrificed. If you look at the stuff he did through his life, he was always putting everything first. And you know what I find the hardest for me? Because I would be devastated. All David wanted to do was build the temple. His whole life. All he wanted to do was build the temple. We talked about this a while back when in the tithing message. That he said, I wanted to build the temple, but God said no. And what I find very interesting, very, very interesting, is David's choices allowed his son to build the temple. Saul's choices brought down the temple. Saul did not lead a worship lifestyle. Saul's choices changed everything. But if we look at David, and we look at the things he has done, when it came to all those things, he had nothing. He had nothing. But the choice and the commitment he made how many years or chapters earlier changed everything. It changed everything, you guys. These three questions, are you a person of depth? Are you accountable? Do you lead a worship lifestyle? The next time you're faced with a choice that could change everything, go in confidence that if you look at this choice and say, well, when I look at this choice, how do I look at this with depth? How do I look at this with accountability? How do I look at this? If you do that, God can move farther down the line. Farther down the line. I want you to understand something, guys. I know I've repeated it a couple times, but if it wasn't for what David had done here with that commitment to God saying, I don't care. It's a worship lifestyle. The weapon would never have been there. And what's even better is God took the weapon that was brought against him. Think about this. God took the weapon that was brought against him, put it in his hand here, and that weapon became the thing that David was able to take and step into his inheritance. It's mind-boggling. It's completely mind-boggling because we always, and you know, it says in the Bible, God will take the things that the devil uses against us and turn it into something good. And that's a prime example, right? So the things you guys are going through, there are people here today who are going through some things. And you don't know how it's going to affect your future. This entire province is going through some things. And we don't know. There are people out of work. There are people who are, I don't even know. Right? But the choices we make, guys, if we do this as people of depth and accountability and in a worship lifestyle, God can take those choices no matter if sometimes they're going to be wrong. Sometimes we step out and we fall flat on our face. Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know, when you fall flat on your face, when you stand up, you're usually a couple feet farther forward. Right? When you fall forward, you don't push back and stand back up. You get up where you were. So at least you're falling forward. Right? Peter stepped out of the boat, took four steps, and sunk. Right? But he was still farther ahead than everybody else, even though he didn't understand the agape lifestyle. Right? So I want to encourage you guys today. I want you to take this, and I want you to understand, this is my last scripture here. I'm not quite done yet. Ephesians 3:16-19. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, what is the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. We will never know the full anything when it comes to God. And the hardest person to hear for is always yourself. It's always yourself. Do you guys know why? Because you have the most invested in this. You have the most invested. It's easy to tell somebody else, smarten up. It's easy to tell somebody else, I wouldn't do that. So easy. It's so easy to tell somebody else that that mountain's not that hard to climb. So easy. No, it's so easy. But when it's time to challenge yourself, absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's so difficult to make decisions for yourself. And what's really interesting when it comes to choices and when it comes to choosing, when it comes to all these things, God will remember your heart when you make these choices. God will remember your heart. And sometimes you make the right choice, but something happens. And that's just life, you guys. I can't explain it. And that's part of not knowing the fullness. Eventually we will know the fullness, but until now, we trust that if we live in a lifestyle that we're talking about today, that we are people of depth, that we are people who are accountable, and that we live a worship lifestyle, then we will be able to step out and say, I don't know what's going to happen, but God, I'm stepping out. And who knows? Maybe later on, that choice you made will change everything in an amazing way. Okay? Did you come up? You don't have to play anything in a minor today. I would prefer B flat major. I don't even know if that's a chord. I'm going to pray here in closing. And can we all stand? 2017 is going to be a fun year. I want to believe that. Last year was still fun. I know there's a lot of things that people are talking about, musicians, like everybody's dying. Yeah. But that happens every year, right? But I want us to look forward in confidence that the choices we make this year, God can use for His benefit. That the choices we make when it comes to sacrificing, when it comes to who we talk to about God, when it comes to stepping out, when it comes to being generous, when it comes to all that, the choices we make, that we know that if we do it in the right attitude, that it can change lives. And it will change lives. It's not just a can. It is. It will happen. And so I want you guys, I'm going to pray first for those of you who have some tough decisions to make. I want you to raise your hands and I'm going to pray that God will come and give you clarity and that God will come and give you peace. Because there are people here who are losing sleep at night. There are people here who are saying, God, I don't know how I'm going to make it through the week. I don't know how I'm going to make it through the day. But I don't know how to choose. I don't know what's the right choice. But there are people here that can help you. There'll be people here at the end who will be able to talk to you and give you prayer. But I just wanted to pray a corporate thing right now. So that's the first prayer I'm going to do. So let's pray. If you need prayer, raise your hand right now. Lord, I pray right now for those people who've raised their hands that your Holy Spirit would come down in clarity, would come down in purpose, and that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would help them make the choices they need to make, that the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, would give peace for every situation. And for those people who don't know how they're going to make it through the week, who don't know where the money is going to come from, who don't know where the food is going to come from, that, Lord, you would give them peace, that you will take care of them. And that, Lord, even as they face decisions here in this next year, Lord, that they would be people of depth, people who are accountable, and people who lead a worship lifestyle. Because Lord, we want you to be able to take everything we do and not only change our life, but change the lives around us. Amen. Now, let's keep our eyes closed. If there's anybody in here who doesn't understand what I said and doesn't understand the worship lifestyle and wants to know Jesus more so that you can start a worship lifestyle, I'm going to say a prayer. And if you feel that this is the time and this is the right time to make a choice, because this choice will change your life, I guarantee you. I want you to raise your hand and you can quietly say the prayer with me. And I'm going to pray it right now. Lord, I pray that you would come into my life. Jesus, you would take over. Jesus, that you would become my Savior, and you would help me to make the choices I need to make for my family and for me, because you're my Savior. And I do all this because I understand the grace that you gave for me, the grace that is over me, and I accept that grace freely. Amen. Keep your eyes closed. If you prayed that prayer, can you please raise your hand? Perfect. Like I said, if you guys need more prayer, please come up. There will be a worship, there will be a prayer team that will be standing here at the front, and they will pray with you.